Today we have a wonderful privilege before us, not just with the opportunity to be able to lift up our praise and adoration as a congregation together before our Heavenly Father, but Brother Michael Stock, who is a missionary to the Philippines, and I was talking to him earlier, and he said that they had been there back and forth some 10 years, but full time the last 4 years. He has been in that area, and so Brother Stock is going to be with us. It would be good if you have opportunity not to leave today without meeting Brother and Sister Michael Stock. But at this time, Brother Stock has a message for us, and we want to ask you to give your undivided attention as he preaches the gospel to us. So, Brother Stock.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Here in Texas, and to be with you all. It's always a privilege to be able to travel around and worship with the brethren throughout the world. One thing that's great about the Lord's church, it doesn't matter where you are. Everybody is teaching the same doctrine, and we all believe the same faith. As we begin today, I want to go back a little bit. And I'm talking today about the sovereign will of God's plan. And he talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school, and he did a great job. But the sovereign will of God's plan, ever since the fall, actually before the creation of man, but since the fall in the garden, was to seek and to save those who are lost. The whole Testament, as he said, is a fulfillment or a coming of this Messiah. And now we live in the time where the church has been established. And so his goal is to seek and to save the lost. And to give you an idea about the plans of God, I want to go back 3 years, or back 4 years, to May of 2012. When we went to the Philippines, we went over their big plans, and we went to Southern Lady, and we planned to plant 13 congregations in 20 years. And we were going to evangelize the whole area, and we had everything outlined exactly the way we wanted. But you know, 6 months later, God took us to a different area. To an area where we never planned on going, we never expected to go to. He took us to Bohol, where there's over 1 million people and less than 100 people in the Lord's church. And as we went there again, we re-evaluated our plan, and we had everything ready. And the congregation we went to had 15 members and no full-time preachers. And we planned to stay with them long-term, but you know, God's plans are not our plans. 8 months later, they had 3 full-time preachers. We had 65 people within the church. We had an active youth program, an adult program, and mentoring programs. And the church no longer needed our help. So we planted a congregation within the city. And very quickly, again, within a month, everything was outlined and everything was thrown out. As we had a massive earthquake, and we began doing outreach. And so as we began to do outreach, I began to see again, oh, God has a plan. We can reach all these people. But you know, less than a month later, we had Yolanda, a major typhoon. The largest storm in world history passed through, killing 10,000 people, leaving a town of over 200,000 people leveled, causing massive destruction everywhere you look. And God called us in a different direction. You see, sometimes our focus is so short and so short plan that we no longer see God's entire plan. And we had a plan to do all these things in 20 years, but in one year's time, we had over 150 baptisms. We had 50 people restored to the Lord's church. 4 congregations were planted as a result of the outreach. You see, our plans are not God's plans. And when we begin to focus on our plans, no matter how great they may seem, no matter how right they might be, and we might be teaching correct doctrine, we might do everything for the right reason, but if they are not God's plan, they are not going to be successful. And God's plans way exceed our expectations. God's plans way exceed anything that we could ever dream of or anything we could ever accomplish. And so God's sovereign will from the beginning is to seek and to save the lost. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "For all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The first thing we must remember in all things is that God is sovereign. He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of mankind. He is the creator of everything. And in every situation, God's will be done. No matter what, God's will be done. Because he is supreme over all things. And it's only after we accept the fact that God is sovereign over all things that God can begin to work in our lives. It is only after we begin to understand that God is sovereign over all things that God can use us and use the church effectively to seek and to save the lost. No matter how great our plans might seem, if they're not in tune with God's plans, we will always fail on what we do. It is only until we learn to humble ourselves that God can learn or God can lift us up. It is only until we empty ourselves that God will fill us. It is only until we die to self before God or Christ can live within us. In Romans 2:20, Paul said it like this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we must remember that it is about God's plan. And everything is about God's plan. And as we go today, I want us to understand that there are four things God is calling us to do. And the first thing he is calling us to do is simply go. He has called every one of us to go. In Matthew 28, as he said earlier in the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 18, and you're familiar with this, Christ said to his disciples, and Jesus spoke to him saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All of us who have been called out by Christ, all of us who have been set apart by Christ, are called to go and to make disciples. The bad thing is that God has called everyone, but only few will accept. Only few people accept the calling. In Luke 9:57, it says, it happened that they were on a journey and on the road. And someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury themselves. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And as we begin to look at that, all these seem like reasonable requests. And as we begin to look at those stories, and if we're honest, we evaluate our lives, I think all of us at one point or another could fall into one of those categories. You see, it's so easy without even realizing it to put things of the world before God. And no matter how important or how little they might seem to us, to God, it is vital that we put him first in everything, in every aspect of our lives. Before we can be effective servants of God, we must first understand that God does not need us. Many of us have the attitude that God needs us, but God does not need us. If we refuse to go, God's plan will still prevail. If we refuse to teach the truth, God's plan will still prevail. If this congregation here in San Angelo or any congregation closes doors and everyone falls away from Christ, God's plan will still prevail and his church will still be alive and well. The first thing we must understand is the attitude that God does not need us. But God has called all of us. And God wants all of us to be obedient to him. He wants all of us to be part of his plan. And he has made a way for each and every one of us to be part of it. So while he does not need it, it is his ultimate goal that we be part of it. That we go out and we seek and save the lost. You see, before the foundation of the world was ever created, God knew the name of each and every child, each and every man and woman that would be born, and He had a plan for each and every one of us on what we would do to seek and to save the lost, and how we are going to serve Him. But it's up to us whether we are going to be obedient to Him. But no matter how much we disobey God, God's plan will still prevail, even if we are not part of His plan. The second thing I want us to understand here is that when we go out and we teach the Word of Christ, and we teach the message of Christ, we do it under Christ's authority. The message we teach is not our message. It's not what I want to hear. It's not what you want to hear. And so many times people join the church thinking it's a social club and it's a great opportunity to get together and gossip and I'll go to this service because they have what I want, or I'll go over here because I like the speaker. But it's not about that. It's about the Lord's words. And we must learn to honor Him. Have you seen that sign that says the church is a hospital for sinners? I'm sure many of you have seen that. But let's look at Romans 6:1 real quick. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. You who have died to sin cannot live in it any longer. Or have you not known? Or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. The Lord's church are the people who are called out. The word church in the Greek is ecclesia, those who have been set apart or those who have been called out. We no longer belong to the world. We belong to the Lord's kingdom. And when we begin to say stuff like that, that the Lord's church is a hospital for sinners, we belittle the very essence of the church in which Christ created. The church which God predestined before the creation of the world. The church that Christ died for. And the church which we belong to. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Sin has no place within the Lord's church. And we must make sure that we respect the Lord's church, the church which Christ died for, the church which He purchased with His blood, that we have been sanctified through baptism, through the contact of the blood of Christ, in which we belong to. The message that we share is not just a message of hope. The message we share is the only message of hope. And so many times when we tell people the message and we begin to teach people, so many times we think of it as ourselves, and so many people even within the church just think of it as another religion. And it's so easy now with the way the world portrays things to think that everybody belongs to Christ as long as they believe in Him. But that's not what the Bible says. There is only one church, and there is only one message of hope. In Luke 13:3, it says, I tell you, but unless you repent, all of you will likewise perish. There is a reality that many of us choose to ignore, try to ignore, or maybe we belittle it. But the reality is that there is a real God who is in control of all things. The second reality is that there is eternity waiting for all of mankind. And the next thing we must understand is that all people will one day die and face judgment. And that is the reality of these things. The reality is what Christ said, that wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will find it. The reality is not everyone will obey the gospel of Christ. In Hebrews 10:31, it says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. The reality is that no matter how much we want to hear the message that God is love, and yes, God is a God of love, but He is also a jealous God and a vengeful God for those who are not faithful to Him. The hard reality is not everyone will listen. In Matthew 7:26, it says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And we know what happened. The rains came, the floods came, and the trials and the sins of this life beat upon him. And he was weighted down with sin. And since Christ was not his foundation, what happened? He fell because his rock was not on the rock of Jesus Christ. Christ is the only way. The hard truth is not everyone will listen to the message of Christ. But it's much easier for us to believe that this person's a good person. Or it's much easier for us to believe what the world teaches, that God loves everyone. He would never condemn someone. Or that because they believe in Christ and they've accepted Christ, they must be God's follower. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The reality is that not everyone who says or confesses the name of Christ is saved. And the reality is that not everyone who listens will be obedient to the message of Christ. The hard reality is not everyone will listen. But now the sad truth is, found in Romans 10:14. The sad truth is that how shall they call on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The sad reality is that so many people will never accept the message, and we have no control over that. But the sad thing is that so many people have never had the opportunity to hear the message. We have no control if people don't accept, but we do have control whether people hear. And as you begin to think about your life and the people around you, how many people know about Christ? How many people are following God's true plan of salvation? Not a man-made plan, but the only plan that is laid out by Christ. And when you think about your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones and those people that you meet every day, how many of them have heard the true gospel message that's not polluted by the world, but the truth from the gospel of Jesus Christ? As you think about your lives, where would you be here today if someone had not taken time to tell you or your family members or your grandparents or your parents about the message of Christ? You see, we live in a world full of sin, and we must proclaim the message of Christ to all who are listening. And I think I'll turn this off. I'm lost on the PowerPoint, so we'll just keep going. But as we continue to go along, we must remember that we are here to seek and to save the lost. You remember the song, "Will You Not Tell It Today?" If the name of your Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant, tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of His gladness today? Many of us spend more time talking about our friends and our hobbies and our family members and our children and grandchildren than we do about the very Lord and Savior who has purchased us with His blood from the cross. When was the last time you took time to tell someone the message of Jesus Christ? And the next thing I want us to understand is that the message is not about us. We are in a trend today which is sad because we see many of the churches that belong to the Lord's church at one time beginning to pollute the gospel. They begin to pollute the services and make it about what they want. But it's not about what I want to hear. It's not about what makes us happy. It's not about my message or your message. It's about our Lord and Savior. It's about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about how we remain obedient to the Savior. It's about how we persevere to the end so that we can receive the glorious crown of life. The second thing I want us to notice here is that we are all called to preach. And as we say that, and we say that we're all called to preach, I know there's many of you sitting there today saying, I can't get up behind a podium. I can't preach. So let's look in the Webster Dictionary real quick. To preach is simply to speak out about something in an involving way, or to say something that is good or necessary. All of us in our lives preach. The difference is, are we preaching a worthless things of the world that mean nothing? Are we preaching the very news that will save souls in the end on the day of judgment? In Matthew 28:19, he continues saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." This is not an option. This is a commandment that is given by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we belong to the Lord's church and we have been purchased by Christ, then we must go and teach others the truth about Jesus Christ. We must speak where the Bible speaks. We must remain silent where the Bible is silent. And we must preach the unpolluted gospel of Jesus Christ. We must preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, it says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and then rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." We must teach the gospel of Christ. And as we look around in the world of darkness, in a world of sin, we must give people hope and we must teach the message of hope. 1 Peter 1:3-5. It says, "Blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercies, who has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, which was kept for you by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." The next thing we must do, we must learn to make disciples. But in order to make disciples, we must first be disciples. We cannot make something that we are not. And Jesus said in Luke 6:40, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." And as we look around, we don't have to look that far to find these men that are supposedly very well educated, and they're taking the Scripture and saying, "Well, this isn't really what it means." If we look at this over here, and we look at this language here, and we add this to it, we take this up, and then they start twisting it around to mean something it doesn't mean. You know, one of the greatest things that we have from God is the Word of God. And the second thing that's great is the simplicity of God's Word. Everybody can understand the gospel of Christ. We don't have to have doctorate degrees. We don't have to know every foreign language. We don't have to know all this stuff. We read it for the simplicity of what the Bible teaches. And yes, there is nothing that can replace education, but the wisdom of God far outweighs any earthly education we can receive. We must remember to teach only what the Bible teaches. And the second thing is, we can only reproduce what we are. We can't reproduce what we are not. In Matthew 22:37, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all of you, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." When people begin to look at our lives, or they begin to look at congregations of the Lord's church, and they don't see the love of Christ in our lives, or the love of Christ in the church, or they see backbiting, or they see all kinds of problems within the church and within our lives, how can they ever see Christ's love for them? Because the example of love that they might see is only the example of love that we demonstrate. That may be the only example they ever see. And the next thing I want us to understand is that we must endure until the end. We are on a journey to heaven. But as we're on that journey, we must labor for the kingdom of the Lord. And its journey is not easy. Sometimes the work is not easy. In 1 Peter 1:21, it says, or 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For you were called because Christ also suffered for us. Leave us an example that we should follow in his footsteps." If people say that being a Christian is easy, they're lying to you. Because being a Christian is not easy. And being a Christian takes an effort on our part to live consciously and effortlessly for God. It takes a conscious effort to read our Bibles and understand God's will. But there's one thing that the world does not understand, that when we do that, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. We have a love that shall never fade away, because we have a God who is in control of all things. Paul said it like this to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11:25. He says, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night, I was in the deep. Does that sound like a fun life? But yet Paul was the one who was always in prison, said, rejoice in all things. He found joy in serving the Lord. We must hold on to the hope. And there's a reason, I think, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he tells them to go into all the world to preach, go into all the world and make disciples, go into all the world and baptize. And the last thing he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Why do you think he said it in that same context? Because even our Lord and Savior knew what it was like for everyone to abandon him. He knew what it was like for even his closest friends to leave him. And if we lose our friends and our family members and our co-workers and respect of other people because we love our God and we proclaim the message of Christ, but yet we remain faithful and obedient to Christ, then he has made that promise that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And those who persevere to the end have a greater reward than we could ever imagine or ever dream of. The third point is that we are called to send. While all of us are called to go and we are called to preach, we are also called to send. In Romans 10:14, we talked about it a little bit earlier. It says, how shall they call on him whom they have not heard? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. God has a plan for everyone to go out and proclaim the message of Christ. And as we look around, there's three things that hold true. Everyone who has ever lived has fallen short of God's glory. Romans 3:23. The next thing is, in Hebrews 9:27, all of us will one day die and face the judgment of Jesus Christ. And the third thing is, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And the things that we do on this earth, and the way we live and die without Christ, we have no hope. But we have the message of hope, and the message of salvation, that we can proclaim to the world. The message of salvation comes at a great sacrifice. And as we look back through history, we understand that even our Savior was rejected. He was lonely, and he was put to death for the message of salvation. And he calls us to do the same thing. When we look at the life of the apostles, all but one of them died as a martyr. And as we look at the stoning of Stephen, and they stoned Stephen, and Satan thought when he stoned Stephen that he's victorious and the Christians scattered. And Satan thought he had won. But remember what was said in Acts 1:8? But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, Satan said, I'm going to win. I'm going to kill the servant of God. I'm going to have Stephen put to death. And as Christians began to scatter, Satan thought he had won. But without even realizing it, he helped fulfill the prophecy that Christ gave in Acts 1:8 to spread the word in all the earth. You see, some of the greatest revivals we had in the history of church came through the persecution of great men and women who remain faithful to the teachings of the Lord. You see, our plans are not God's plans, and our ways are not God's ways. And when we lose focus on what God has in store, then the church begins to decline, and we begin to fail.
But if we learn to let go and we learn to let God have control of all things and we put God back in His sovereignty and back in His place, we learn to have fear and reverence for God. He does many mighty things and the church cannot be fallen. For the God that we serve is greater than all mankind, and God's plan will always prevail. As we look back through history, we realize that the message of Christ, the message of salvation, was delivered at a great cost. We had many martyrs through the first century and even into the second century, and yet the message never died. Isaiah 6:8, it tells us, it says, I also heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go? Then I said, here I am, send me. The question is, when the Lord calls, are you ready to go? And I'm not talking about calling you to a foreign land. If the Lord calls you to talk to your neighbors, or He opens up an opportunity for us to talk to our friends, are you willing to go and proclaim the message of Christ? Do you remember the song, Follow Me? It says, as I traveled down the lonely road, no one seemed to care. The burden on my back, weary. The burden on my back bowed me to the stair. And I often complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard Him so tenderly. My feet also were weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I oft boast and say, I have sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to Thee. And then I heard Him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it by loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, twould be no more than love demands, no less I could repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words He gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within a hand, then just a cup of water is all that I have manned. But if to death by living they can thy glory see, I'll take your cross and follow close to me. I doubt that many of us are going to be called to a foreign field. And I doubt that any of us are going to become martyrs in a foreign field for the cause of Christ. But yet all of us have been called to be part of God's plan. And it is up to us to listen to the plan that God has outlined for all of us. How should they preach without a gospel, without a preacher? How should they preach unless they are sent? God has sent each and every one of us. And so many times we pray for open doors and we forget that God has already opened the doors. What we need to pray for is not for open doors, but for the courage to go through the doors that are already open to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, and child who was ever born has been called to preach, to send, and to save. We are called to proclaim the glorious message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must spread the message of Christ and salvation far and wide to everyone who will listen. We must have confidence that we serve a sovereign God. And in spite of persecution, in spite of hardships, in death and in life, that God will always be victorious because God's plan cannot and will not fail. We serve a sovereign God. And in the loneliest points in our life, when we seem like nothing else can work, we know that God is in control of all things. God is above all, and ultimately God's plan will be done. Again, in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things are created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The church must take note of the world. We must take note of the hopelessness of the state of those around us without Christ. We must spread the message of Christ to our friends and our families and our neighbors and even those within this auditorium. We must proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And we must proclaim it with the confidence of knowing that we have already been saved. And that nothing that can happen to us can take us away from the love that comes to Jesus Christ. Have you heard people when they say as a Christian, oh, I hope I'm going to heaven? If you're saying you hope you're going to heaven, then you don't understand the Word of God. Because once we have been added to Christ through baptism, once we come up and we're sanctified by Christ, if we live faithfully to Him, we are already part of the Lord's kingdom. We are already part of the kingdom that will one day be with God in heaven. We must understand that we are saved and for us to live as Christ, but to die as gain. Let us never silence the message of Jesus Christ and tell all the friends and neighbors until everyone in every part of the world has heard the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The true passion and drive for missions work comes from the heartbreaking reality that everyone is called, but few will go and few will listen. But even though people won't listen, it does not give us an excuse not to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, or will you not tell the message today? Romans 3:23, it tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as we begin to look around this auditorium, there's probably some here today who have not been faithful to Christ. Well, there's probably some here today who have never accepted Christ as Savior. But all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The same message that was preached on the day of Pentecost is the same message we preach today. That this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Savior. And the only way to receive the true forgiveness of sins is by submitting to Him in baptism. If you've heard the message of Christ, but you've never been obedient, why are you waiting? Today is the day you need to decide if you're going to live for Christ or live for the world. And if you're willing to confess the name of Christ and you're willing to live faithfully to Him, repent of your sins, and be baptized, then you too can start the journey of a new life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you need to make that decision, please do it now as we stand and sing.